Hi, this is Greg Connors, and you are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, and today we are going to meet Greg Connors. Stick around. You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, everybody, welcome back. And you are with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. As I mentioned at the intro there, we are going to be meeting Greg Connors here in a minute. Greg is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, just makes this absolutely beautiful music that I really can't wait to share with you folks here. So stick around. Right now, I know that many of you guys are listening to this on iTunes and Podbean and Player FM, maybe even on YouTube. Wherever you are listening to it, there is a share button somewhere. So what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm going to remind you again later, is to please hit that share button. Share with your friends the music that you're listening to, the artists that you're interested in, because this is how we get these artists more fans, okay? It's you, the fan, sharing it with your friends that helps to grow what these artists are doing. And I really appreciate it, and I'm sure Greg Connors is really going to appreciate it too. So just hit that share button on whatever device you're listening to it on, whatever platform. And by the way, you can share it to whatever social media you like. It doesn't really matter. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever is your favorite, wherever you're most active, just boom, hit the share button right now and let the world know that you're the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus and Greg Connors are badasses. Okay, so appreciate you doing that. Real quick, too, our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. There's tons of great podcasts there with a lot of cool artists in a wide variety of genres. We are committed to bringing great music to everybody out there in the world. There's tons of cool podcasts there, too, just different specials and things like that. We do a weekly live show on Facebook, and you can find out more information about there. That's the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus with my co-hosts Lily V6 and Keith the Hawk Hawkins. We are also part of the Rock Rage Radio family. So those of you that are love great guitar-driven rock, don't forget to crank up the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus on Sundays in the replay. Just as you're coming out of church, you can crank that up at noon on Sunday. So check that out. Those of you that are hard rockers and you like that kind of stuff. As I was mentioning at the top of the hour or at the top of the show, we have Greg Connors online with us today. Greg is a singer, songwriter, guitarist, just gets this really amazing style to what he does. We really can't wait for you guys to hear it. So, Greg, welcome to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you, Lou. Yes, I appreciate you having me here.
Where are you calling in from?
I'm currently in Hastings, New York, actually, right along the Hudson River. And
what brings you to Hastings, New York?
Well, I'm here at a friend's house, actually, but I typically have been hailing from Ossining, New York, which is a little further north up the river, actually. I've lived in a few different places, but I've just kind of settled here. It's about an hour from the city, maybe a little less, depending on express train or whatever, or traffic. But it's good. I started getting a little claustrophobic down there recently, so okay. It's nice to be up here.
I understand. So, how did you get inspired in the first place to just pick up a guitar and start doing something?
Let's see. I always liked it. There was, when you were asking that, what came to me was, I think this time it was the end of summer. I was a little kid, and I had these walkie talkies that had an AM radio on it, and it was the first day back at school, and I think it was I-95 FM or something out of Fairfield, Connecticut. Which of course is an FM radio, but anyway, what happened was all of a sudden the Pretenders back on the Chain Gang came on. Uh-huh. and it was like my little kid brain was like, yeah, back on the Chain Gang. I gotta go back to school. It's like I'm going to jail. And it was something like this sort of like rebellion thing. Yeah, and yeah. The way that sounded, that sort of like Stratocaster guitar sound and her voice and the hooks and the words, that really, there was a moment there where I really thought it moved me. Like music really moved me in a personal way. Like it felt like it was right at me. As far as guitars, there was actually a Christian youth pastor one time who thought I had something to say or some sort of creative musical instincts. And he actually just gave me like a, I think it was like an Epiphone Hummingbird guitar. And it takes a while to get beyond the learning curve where it doesn't just sound like crap. I don't know what the language what the language thing is, you know, if I'm able to use the other word,
if
but I'll
you,
try to
if
keep...
you use, I just real quick, we should talk about this at the beginning of college, but yeah, if you feel so inclined that you need to use colorful metaphors,
right,
we can mark the podcast as explicit, and that's fine.
Okay.
But generally, okay, we try to keep it to like PG-13.
I can do that. I can go there. Yep.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no. So I had a friend, Scott, who we just would kind of get together with instruments. And like I said, there was, you know, certain points where we would just play like one string and just try to make it sound like something. So to get beyond the point to where it wasn't just annoying for everybody, that's where a lot of people stop, is because they can't really make it sound like anything. So it gets frustrating. So there's something with enduring beyond that point. And for whatever reason, I kept going. I was definitely Bob Dylan influenced me a lot. There's something that I felt spoke to me personally as well.
How did you end up hearing Bob Dylan? Because he's not typically, you know, I don't know. He hasn't had like a pop hit, you know, in a really
it's
long
been
time.
A while, right?
Yeah. So like, how did you end up, what was your exposure to Bob Dylan? Because, it's usually a story with people because again, it's the kind of music that either you seek out or somebody says, hey, check this guy out. So how did you end up hearing Dylan?
Yeah. And I'm not like, I'm older, but I'm not that old where I was there when he was,
Right.
So it's funny actually, because I grew up at one point, my family was a fundamentalist born again Christian. So it was during the mid 80s and Bob Dylan had gone into his born again phase. He made those three albums that were like born again Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was like also Christian youth things, there would be these kind of rah, 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 rock and roll is bad, you know, playing stuff backwards. So there was certain, he was this thing that I was sort of, it was okay to listen to him.
Yeah.
Because he had these, you know, Slow Train Come In and the album Saved. And When He Returns, there were all these songs that he had done a crossover. And as opposed to other born again Christian rock bands, which is a really interesting whole little microcosm, he moved me more than say a Keith Green or Petra or the Rez band. There was the metal born again bands.
Yeah.
Striper.
Yeah.
I liked it, and I even went to some of those, but the Bob Dylan, I liked his weird voice, I liked his phrasing.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was exactly. It was kind of like realizing I liked the garlic in spaghetti sauce, you know, like it was sort of like I liked his phrasing, I liked his voice. There seemed something genuine about it. It was heady.
Yeah.
It was heady.
I totally get what you're saying. That's how I was found out about Bob Dylan too. We had very similar experiences with regards to that, because it was the same
really?
Thing with me. Yeah. And I could tell, like, you know, the way he sounded versus the way a lot of other Christian, quote unquote, what they called Christian rock at the time, this was on another level. He was doing something that was like a lot deeper, even though it did have that sort of Jesus thing going on. There was something, because it was Dylan, it was just better. I don't know how to put it. Like, he just had
exactly.
The craft, I think, you know, he had all those years of craft behind him, with the starting out as the folk acoustic, you know, then the sort of folk rock, you know, kind of thing. And then when he came, got to that point, I mean, he had all that. He really knew what he was doing. So he was able to do it on a level that was, you know, way above everybody else. And I think that's kind of what attracted me as well.
Is that, wow. I don't know a lot of people who relate to that. That's cool, Lou. I like that.
So you started, you had this youth pastor give you this guitar. You loved Bob Dylan. You'd started playing. At what point do you go like, no, this is something I'm doing. Like, I'm not just like a, you know, going to entertain friends at, you know, parties. I'm going to actually do something with this.
Right. I had kind of, I took it from out of the, you know, I went to college up in the Boston area, and I was kind of, I had embraced being a stoner, kind of hippie, and I would I would kind of sit in my room, and there was a friend of mine, Garrett DeVoe. I couldn't really figure out the singing and with guitar thing just yet. I would just be trying to like learn songs, and but there's this guy. I had these sort of psychedelic poems, and my friend Garrett DeVoe, who's still in this band in Brooklyn called Pure Horsehair, that's, and we do some shows together, but he kind of showed me finessing my poems. He was kind of like, yeah, well, this part is kind of like for this part, and then you can go to a, you know, A minor on this one, like very simple kind of idea. But I was like, wow, this is like a song. And he was like, yeah, that's totally a song. And so Garrett DeVoe, actually, then I kind of stuck around there, but pretty much kept it to myself in my room. And after that, at some point, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And I think it was encouragement from a girlfriend, somebody, and somebody kept telling me I was good. And I kept I kept buying it for some reason. Eventually, I bought it. And I don't know if you know, sometimes I think that was a, maybe not the greatest thing, but I keep going. But there was a place called Dottie's down in Atlanta, which was kind of this weird hillbilly bar right in the middle of Atlanta on Memorial Drive. And it was actually very nurturing. They were like, you do whatever, you go up there. People were very encouraging. I have no idea what it sounded like at that time. I was very shy. I didn't, you know, if there were oral reports in school or I had to do a speech class, I was terrified to do anything in front of people. So there's some tequila involved, I believe. Of but course. I did, you know, I did do it, and I realized I liked it. There was something in Atlanta where I was in a different place from where I was from. There wasn't, I was kind of recreating myself. I guess I wasn't my parents' child so much. I was in a foreign place, and there seemed to be, this was like pre-Olympic Atlanta, there was a very artistically nurturing thing there for me. Not like, we're going to get you paid, we're taking you places, man. Just like, we like that you're trying to do this. That's cool. You're interesting. And I ran with it. I took the enthusiasm is encouragement, and kind of continued on.
Let's what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a little break and listen to the song that you have out with the video of Future Nostalgia. We're going to come back, and I want to talk a little bit more about, I want to get into what's going on now, release wise, and, you know, and that sort of thing. So guys, check this out. This is absolutely just a beautiful piece of music here. Future Nostalgia by Greg Connors on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Sirens fell on a silent spell. I was reminded of some movie. Cotton Rose. She struck a pose, and the plot started to lose me. I'm not doing too much per se. Future nostalgia. coming away. Wash, rinse, repent. Ascending, slow descent. And right now, that thoughtful gift for that special someone on the floor of your closet melts like chocolate, and annoys all your skeletons who love it semi-sweet. And then you treat it for posterity. Your very soul, the key. Touch and see. Touch and see. If the stove will burn me, for whom the bell made it hard to tell what was being said to me. Whack-a-mole, it takes its toll. Sunny windowsill and a deadbeat. He be dying to stray. Future nostalgia coming away. Wash, rinse, repent. Ascending, slow descent. And right now, that little gift for that special someone on the floor of your closet melts like chocolate and annoys all your skeletons who lobby for semi-sweet. And then you treat it for posterity. Your very soul, the key. Touch and see. Touch and see. If the stove will burn me, sirens fell on a silent spell. I was reminded of some movie.
Okay, really powerful track, Greg. What is this part of? Are you doing a? Is this part of a full length record, or are you just doing singles? Like, what is the sort of process for you right now?
This particular one started this past summer. I've released some singles it was 2018 in March. I released a album, a full length called Homemade Compass, that was I think 10 songs or something. Prior to that, I had released an EP. So I know that's kind of what the kids are doing, is they're releasing singles. And I kind of thought I would try that. And, you know, it's like trying to create hype about something. This is Future Nostalgia was something that came about talking to my friend Bjorn. He mentioned it like as a concept of, you know, you're going through rough times, things really suck. And this is sort of like, this is something we're going to look back at and laugh at someday, kind of idea, but more like not necessarily laugh, just remember. And this was part of a stepping stone or whatever, like that. So Future, I liked that. And it's, I must say, in all my years doing this, this was the first time sort of I really kind of knew exactly what it should do and who I wanted involved in it and what it, and I used this friend of mine, Mark Smith Music, who had, I had done some recording, just sort of acoustic-y stuff with him when I was in Queens. And I kind of, he had a distinct sound in recording in a studio setting that, his style was kind of not doing anything. You know, he had certain compressors and microphones. He maybe a certain type of reverb, but it was a certain sound that was based on like not doing anything and kind of just creating a comfortable atmosphere. And he had done it previously, basically as a favor. And then this one, I was like, no, he was like, I don't really want to do that again. You know, the chip sailed. And I was like, no, I'll give you some money. Like, and he was at a different place. And I basically forced him to record my Future Nostalgia song. And then we went back. It was at the New York Vocal Studio in the city. And it's just this little closet with, it was really cool. And I recorded it in real time. I started to do it with a click, and he was like, no, it's kind of, let's keep it kind of loosey goosey. And then, kind of built it from there.
So you have Future Nostalgia out there. It's a very cool video to it, as well, that everybody needs to go check out. So what's coming up? What does the next like 6 to 12 months look like for you? Or are you just flying by the seat of your pants?
Let me plug my friend George. His name actually is George Michael. He's at Instagram gmike.move. He's who did the video, and he was great to collaborate on making that. Currently, like as in this week, I'm trying to finish up a holiday album, a holiday EP called Holiday Cards on the Table.
Wow.
I've thought about this for years. Like, should I did record actually with Mark Smith, Blue Christmas a couple years back, but I like went through old traditional Christmas songs, and I was like, should I do that? You know, with my style, it's kind of weird because I think a lot of Christmas songs as we know it, ironically, were written by like Jewish piano prodigies. It's sort of a product. So it's like I go through it and I'm trying to do it with acoustic guitar the way, and there's a lot of quick changes and a lot of like clever progressions, and I'm like, I don't know, I was kind of humbled by it. So what I did was I just sort of started writing these songs, realizing that I have, you know, over 40 years of Christmas and holiday memories that I could kind of write from. So I'm sort of trying to throw this thing together real quick in on a little digital Tascam 4-track in my room in Ossining, just playing everything myself for better or for worse.
Yeah. Cool, man. So, you know, well, that's very awesome. And I'd send me some of that. I definitely want to hear it when you have it all together. So you're wrapping that up. Okay. And what's going on in 2019 for you?
Oh, that's a good question, Lou. I'm trying, I would love to, do a little bit more stuff out of town. I've been playing primarily in New York City and up here around Metro New York. But I would like to kind of go out of state a little bit more. And I want to just keep recording. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have much of a budget for anything.
Yeah.
But I realize I can't not do it. And right. I've been doing it for a while, whether or not anybody happened to be listening at that time. So I would like just to keep doing what I'm doing, but better. I've been mostly playing. I was playing with this guy, Nick Attila, and Scott Fergala, stand-up bass, and Nick's a multi-instrument. I was doing that, but lately I've just been doing solo stuff with a loop, with some effects, playing around in that way. Or, you know, and there's something about the rawness of the solo that I've been trying to finesse. Because, and then I play with different people who are kind of good folks who can kind of step into it and they get it right away. That's the important thing. There's a lot of times I can play with people who are great, but they'll just be like, oh, so that's in 4/4. So it's like boom, boom, and I'm like, yeah, it is, but that doesn't really go with the song. And even though they're playing technically perfectly, I'm struggling with finding myself in it. So it's got to be like, drummers who listen are really important to me. My friend Fletcher in Brooklyn has been standing in sometimes. So I'm kind of going, I mean, to make a long answer longer, I'm going to just keep writing and try to get on the road a little bit more.
All right, my man. Well, Greg, it was really awesome getting to know you a little bit today. And go ahead. Is the Greg Connors music.blogspot, is that the best place for people to kind of congregate, to kind of see what you have coming up and what's going on?
That's pretty good. It's maintained by another friend, Greg, actually in France. He kind of keeps that pretty close to accurate. There's Greg Connors Music Bandcamp, although that's kind of what the new music is put out on. That's what I'm probably just going to release, Holiday Cards on the Table, on that exclusively. Greg Connors Music at Instagram is probably the one I work and poke at with a stick the most. Okay. You know,
all right, guys, so you want to go to Instagram, Greg Connors Music, and check out everything that Greg has going on. He's going to be releasing a holiday record any day now, so you definitely don't want to miss it. Great stuff, Greg. Stick around, buddy. I need to wrap up the podcast, but I need to do a little business with you when we're done. Okay, you got a second to hang out?
Absolutely.
All right. Everybody, you just got to meet Greg Connors. You got to hear some of his music. If you haven't already shared the podcast, please hit the little share button there on whatever platform you're listening to, and then share it to whatever social media outlet you enjoy the most. Let your friends that you're partying with there on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or wherever you are know about Greg Connors' music. Great story, and I get the feeling that there's a lot more to it. So I'm looking to hopefully get to meet Greg again in the future, have him back on, because I got a feeling that there's we skipped a few years there with some interesting things that happened. So, but we'll get him on again real soon, guys. So, and again, the reminder there is to he does have that Greg Connors music on Blogspot, but I believe that Instagram is where he likes to hang out the most. So you can find Greg Connors music on Instagram and check him out. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website, one last time, is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Tons of artist stories like this one, special podcast, music podcast, all kind of cool stuff there. And I always forget to mention there is merchandise too as well. So help us keep the lights on, and you pick up a t-shirt or a mug or something like that. We really appreciate it. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Great to have Greg Connors on here. We'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.